And as I was praying last year, the Lord gave me just, we went through a journey to Bethlehem, and we talked about the Word became flesh. And we just went through the Scriptures, and just I just let the Lord, just whatever He revealed to me as we went through, we just went on that journey together. And I thought about going back, and I said, something hit me in my spirit. Also, I was reading the article, and it just jumped out. Joy jumped out. Just joy. The first thing we sung this morning talked about great joy. The joy of the Lord. He's our strength. But Jesus is the joy of Christmas. That's the title of the message. And it's going to, we're just going to focus on joy all the way to His birthday, all the way to December 25th. That's what the Lord wants me to focus on. But Jesus, He is the joy of Christmas. Joy is a world overcomer. It's a world overcomer. Let's go to the book of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We're going to spend a lot of our time right here in the book of John. John chapter 16. And we're going to start in verse 16. This is Jesus encouraging His disciples as He was getting ready to go to the cross and suffer the suffering that no man on this earth could suffer but one man, the Son of Man. There's no man that could go to that cross and suffer what He went through and not open his mouth but the Son of God. Because He knew if He opened His mouth, He could curse somebody. He could call legions of angels to take Him off of that cross. He had to hold His lip because the Bible says for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. That's a little bit of the message, but Jesus had joy on that cross. And I want you to know, I don't care what I'm suffering in times or what we suffer in, we've got joy. Joy, joy, unspeakable joy. That's not that you can't speak joy. Unspeakable. No, unspeakable joy. I just can't contain it, Cecil. Unspeakable joy. That's the joy of the Lord. You can't contain it, what He's done for you. Joy is not in your mind. Joy is a fruit of your spirit. It's a fruit of, what is the fruit of the spirit? Love. Joy. It comes right after love. You can't say you love God and serve Him and not have joy. Now, you can maybe not think you're experiencing joy, but it's not a feeling. The things of the Spirit are not a feeling. They're a force. They're a force to be reckoned with. John verses 16, Jesus talking to His disciples, He says, a little while and you will not see Me. And again a little while and you will see Me because I go to the Father. Some of the disciples said among themselves, Peter, what's He talking about? I'm paraphrasing here. Peter, what's Jesus talking about? A little while going to be here, a little while not. A little while you see Me and a little while you not. They said, therefore, what is this He's saying? We don't know what He's saying. We don't understand. They're saying one to another. Now Jesus didn't know this in His mind. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask Him this question. He knew by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit has gifts of discernment. Discernment is not, how would you say, superstition. In other words, I have this feeling about you. No, that's in your emotion. A discernment is a spiritual force. Jesus said, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while and you will not see Me, and again a little while and you will see Me. Verse 20. Most assuredly, or truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. Joy. Jesus saw in the Spirit how their hearts were going to be. He knew by the Spirit of God what they were going to do because the Father had showed Him. Verse 21, a woman, Jesus is giving a parable here now, talking about a woman that's getting ready to expect a child. A woman, when she is in labor, now I can't bear that pain. I can't tell you what that pain feels like because I'm not a woman, but there's probably many women that's given birth to children can tell you about childbirth pains. He says, a woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow or suffering. Now, I've been with a woman, my wife, I've seen her, and that wasn't normal. Bringing birth is not normal. That was one. If you have four kids, that's a four times in a lifetime you'll experience, because it's not normal. Because her hour had come, she is sorrowful. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers that anguish. Why? For the joy. For that joy of seeing that baby. Think of Mary, the joy that she had when she saw Jesus for the first time. But she didn't experience it then. Go back into scriptures in your mind, in your heart. When she saw Elizabeth while she was 3 months pregnant, the salutation Elizabeth greeted her cousin with, the babe leaped for joy. Joy. And Elizabeth, John, he was filled in the spirit right then. Man, there was some joy going on right there because of the Word of God and Jesus being in Mary's womb and John the Baptist, his cousin, two that were going to start this new covenant of grace and truth. Man, that's joy right there. But when she saw that baby, Jesus said, all that suffering, all that pain, it's kind of like she didn't even need no pain medication anymore because of the joy. Was her sedative. That joy inhabited her flesh and caused all that pain. She didn't even feel it anymore. Verse 22, therefore, just like that woman, Jesus is saying to his disciples, therefore, you now have sorrow because I've told you this. But I will see you again. We've lost loved ones here. No, we hadn't. Our loved ones have went on to heaven. So I don't like to, I'm changing my attitude of lost. Lost is something that can't be found. But if our loved ones was born again, we know where they're at. We have sorrow here when we think about this time of year that they've gone on ahead. But then something else comes in. If you got the Holy Ghost, that joy will come because Jesus gave us hope that he's coming again. We'll see our loved ones again. Amen. Amen. And don't thank your mom, your dad, a good friend. You cannot talk to them specifically down here on the earth, but you can talk to Jesus, the Holy Ghost. If they're with him, you can talk to Jesus, and you can't have a conversation with that person, but you can talk to Jesus and say, Jesus, let Mama know I really miss her, but I'm going to see her soon. And Jesus say, no problem. I'll let her know. I know exactly where she lives. I built her a mansion, and she's having a good time. And she can't wait, because to him, to God, it's only a couple days for eternity. It's only going to be just a minute. And we're all going to be sitting around that lamb, the marriage supper of the lamb, toasting one another, toasting the Lord's supper and just thanking him. And somebody's going to shout, and then next somebody else is going to shout. Before you know, we're all going to be shouting. Be shouting ground. There's an old song out there. It's shouting time in heaven. A sinner was lost, was saved. It's shouting time in heaven. Salvation has been. It's shouting time. When one sinner gets saved, it's shouting time in heaven. They're rejoicing. The angels rejoice when one sinner comes home. Joy. Jesus said in verse 22, therefore you now have sorrow. We don't deny we have sorrow. But I will see you again. That's where I flip my switch. I'm getting out of this grief. I can't carry it. I can't carry that burden because Jesus can. I'm getting back into joy. And again, your heart will rejoice. And your joy, no one will take from you. No one will take that joy. See, sometimes people don't understand. What are you so happy about? What's the matter with you? You don't see what's happening in the economy, what's happening in the world? Why are you so happy? I got joy. Jesus said, in the world you're going to have tribulation, but count it all joy, for I've overcome the world. A joy is a world overcomer. Not my joy, it's God's joy. His joy that he put down on the inside of me. Remember when he went to raise Lazarus, it says he wept. Lazarus was dead. This is, I told you, I'll throw you some opinion. This is my opinion, but I like to say some things. Why did Jesus weep? This ain't in the Word, but Think about this. Lazarus was dead. He was in Abraham's bosom. His spirit was in Abraham's bosom because Jesus hadn't been resurrected yet. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He called his friend back to life. He came out of the tomb. But think about this. Lazarus was going to have to die again. Jesus, it's appointed man to once to die. Lazarus had to do it twice. But you know what? For the joy that he experienced, he was able to withstand. I got to die again. But he knew he was going to be with Jesus. He had a taste of the resurrected Lord and his spirit. He had to face death again, but man, he was friends with Jesus. Well, thank God he had a plan. Jesus, the joy of Christmas. Amen. Jesus is telling his disciples that nobody's going to be able to take that joy from you. Don't let the devil steal your song. His word is just, his word is your song. David sang many of them. Because that's where the devil will try to get your joy. If he can steal your song, he's trying to get your joy. Keep a song in your heart. And Jesus said in verse 23, and in that day, this is the new covenant, when he would go to the cross but be resurrected. Jesus said, and in that day, you'll ask me nothing. You've asked me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Why is it different? Jesus is sitting right beside him in heaven. I ask the Father. The Father looks at Jesus. Jesus says, okay, you got it. Two are in agreement. That's why Jesus said, it's better that I go away, guys, because I'm going back to the Father. But I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you orphans, because the Father's got another plan. He's only got one plan, right? It's the best plan. Amen. It's called the plan of salvation. Amen. And it was already settled before you even sinned. Before Adam even sinned, God had a plan. And it's still working in the earth. It's working in you and working in me. And we're going to take it to other peoples and let them see. Verse 24, until now you've asked nothing in my name. But Jesus is going away. But he said, ask and you will receive. Why? That your joy may be full. What have you asked God for lately? The devil tells you you're not worthy. You don't need to be asking. You're supposed to be giving. Jesus said, what did he say? Until this time, we've asked nothing in his name because he's been there to give us everything. We didn't have to ask. He gave us. He didn't have to ask, right? When the people were hungry, what did he ask the disciples? Don't go looking out there. Feed them within. Feed them. You feed them. The power of God is right there. He had commissioned his disciples the works that Jesus did. He said, you'll do. If you ain't got enough food, next time you sit down, pray for it. Look up to heaven and bless it and believe God to possess that food, and you'll have more leftovers than what you started with. Here too, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive. What happens if you don't ask? You don't receive. Don't let the devil tell you you're not worthy to be asking for something. If my kids didn't ask for nothing, they'd be moving out. If they didn't know Daddy was going to give them something. But I expect them to ask. You know, what kind of parent, if your kids ask, you want to give them a stone? Or you want to kick them out just because they come in there, they're hungry and they ask for something to eat? Man, ask. So God can provide and your joy can be full. I want full throttle joy. Full throttle. Have I made it to verse 33? No, I ain't even got there yet, have we? Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive. You will. If you ask in faith, nothing wavering, you have a promise. You will receive that your joy may be full. Now, these things, Jesus said, I've spoken to you in a figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in parables or figurative language, but I will tell you plainly what the Father about him. In that day you will ask me, in that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me. You don't have to ask the question, God, do you love me? If you love Jesus, the Father loves you. Don't have to ask that question. God is love. You can't ask love, love, do you love me? Love loves. Amen. God loves. You need to be saying, Father, I thank you. I receive that love. Because in that love, there's fullness of joy. And have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and I go to the Father. I'm here a little while, but I'm gone a little while. Now he's explaining to them where he's going. And his disciples said to him, say, finally, we understand. He spoke English. He didn't speak Greek or Hebrew. I'm paraphrasing here. I don't know a lot of Greek words unless I got them in the Bible. But now he's speaking plainly. We can understand. Verse 30, now we are sure that you know all things. I'm glad they finally believed that of Jesus. And have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God. 31, Jesus answered them, so now you believe, guys? I've been with you 3.5 years, and now you believe. Indeed, he said, the hour's coming and has now come that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. Garden of Gethsemane. See the picture? What they did? But Jesus was not alone. He knew they was going to leave him. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. And that's going, as soon as we was born into this world, trouble. Trouble's coming. Doctor bill, got to pay the doctor for being born. That's trouble right there, right? As soon as you're born, tribulation, testing and trials. But cheer up. I've overcome the world, he says. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. We have received Jesus into the earth. Now I'm going to speed up here a little bit. I'll remind you in verse 20, Jesus said, most assuredly, in John 16:20, I say to you, you will weep and you will mourn, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your joy, your sorrow shall be turned to joy. Psalms 30, verse 5, we're supposed to, by two or three witnesses, let this word be established in your heart. This is King David, man of a lot of trouble. I'm glad he was, I'd love him to be my president right now, because I know his heart. And that's who we need. Our leaders need to have a heart for God. Verse 30 says, Psalm 30, 1 through 5, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes, my enemies, rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. Need healing in your body? Past tense. You healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. That's my emotions. Man, this is my buddy. This is where he was. You brought my soul up from the grave. You kept me alive that I should not go down to hell, to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but what's coming in the morning? Joy shall come in the morning. When David said weeping may endure for a night, he's talking about the plagues hitting that last all night long. But he said joy comes in the morning. And when he said that, I thought about Jesus as he was telling his disciples about the sorrow they were going to have. But 3 days he was in the grave, but on that fourth day, weeping endured for 3.5 days, 3 days in the ground. But then they had that joy when they saw him on the road. When he appeared back to them and he walked through the walls, they were overcome with joy to actually believe it was actually him. But see, they couldn't recognize him because last time they saw him, he was mauled. He was just a hunk of flesh. But he was glorified, all but the prints in his hands and the prints in his feet was the only way they could recognize that truly was him, because he was changed. See, we're going to be changed one day. Jesus, after he suffered once for mankind. And he went to the Holy of Holies, offered his blood, and then God raised him from the dead, gave him his new body. And it's a body that can come back and eat. He actually come back to disciples and cooked them fish on the seashore. Said, Peter, have you caught anything out there yet? Peter ain't caught a thing. Jesus says, supper cooking. Peter hit the water. Jesus already had him something cooked. Had a body, but he could still eat. I'm still hungry. We just celebrated Thanksgiving here and had some good meal, but there ain't nothing compared to Jesus cooking. Amen. When we get to heaven. I'm talking about my wife's mama. When I get there, she can cook some biscuits. She still knows how to cook. And it's going to be fine flour there. Ain't going to be no preservatives, no additives. It's going to be the good stuff, that manna from heaven. Amen. Glory. See, we add a lot of stuff to it. Jesus said, you don't need all that stuff no more. Glory. There's coming a day that we're going to get to have all those old recipes all sitting around us. We're going to have eternity for somebody to come up here and bring me a cake, a different kind of cake. People I didn't even know, relatives I didn't even know, going to sit before me, and we're going to sit around and talk about glory and talk about eternity. And we're going to have something to do. Me and Hal, we talked about this the other day, that, man, once we get out of here, God gave us this earth. You don't think he's got nothing for us to do in turn? We're not going to be floating around on clouds. We're going to be doing something that's going to be making a difference still. We're just going to be enjoying. It's going to be awesome. This is just a test run of what we're going to do. This is just a drop in the bucket. If you know Jesus. See, that's, you got to know Jesus. All these promises, but he's the only way back to those promises, to the Father, Jesus. And I believe everyone here is. But a few more scriptures here just to tie this in. James 1 verses 2. This is the brother of Jesus. He called him Lord after his resurrection. Even his brother believed. He says, my brethren, talking to us, James says, count it all joy when you fall into temptation. Count it all joy when you're going through trouble. Count it all joy. Knowing this, I better get there. Terry, you got it up there? What's verse 2? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. What's the next verse? But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect or mature right there, entire, lacking nothing or lacking no gifts. See, when the test comes, if you don't have the word, you're going to fail. You're going to fail that trial. And you're going to have to go back to the wilderness, make another lap. And if you don't get in the word, you're going to go round and round and round. You're going to blame it on Uncle Susie. You're going to blame it on your past, on your education. You need to just forget the blame game and get in the game. Amen. Get in the game of life. Get in the word. Get in the book. It is the wisdom. Now I'm preaching to myself because I'm guilty of this. A lot of times I look to the world, I look to my family. What did they do? I need to look to the word. What did David do? David said, I encourage myself in the Lord. If nobody else is going to encourage me, I'll stir myself up and find some joy. Because it's there. God is not left. He is not left. His spirit has been here ever since he created this heaven and this earth. Because the heavens and the earth are the full, they're all his. He ain't abandoned ship. He's waiting us to get on the glory ship. Get in there with him and fight. God's called me to teach people faith and teach them how to fight. A lot of the church, we've lost our fight. We've lost our song. And you've lost your sword. If you're not singing the song, you're not swinging the sword. And the devil, the enemy, is gaining ground. It says, why can we count it joy when the tempter comes? The tempter is the devil, remember? James says, don't think when you're tempted, don't say you're tempted of God. God can't be tempted with evil, neither he tempt you with anything. There's no evil in him. Why can we count it joy? Because we can say, like the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:3, endure hardness, endure this temptation as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Put me on the front line, Lord. In the Old Testament, who did they put on the front line? They put the praise team out there. Don't put nobody in the praise team that ain't got a heart for God. That's got the joy. See, they got to have that joy. They got to know we the first ones they're going to shoot. But I know the arrows are going to fall short. Because there's a greater one I'm praising and singing to. He's going to steal the enemy. See, put those praisers out there. I'm not sure how our government, how our army works, but if we went by the Bible and truly trusted in God, you could put men out there praising and singing to God. Put the preachers out there. Put the preachers on the front line. Those that truly believe. And they won't need the tanks. They won't need the helicopters. Because we got angels dispatched. God inhabits his praise, and they go and they hearken to his word and they accomplish what they've been sent to do. So if the army's not doing it, we need to be praying for them. See, we need to be making up the gap. And we do. Pray for your country. Pray for your men and women every day. Sing a song to them or just skip and just say, pray a simple prayer. We need to be praising God for His mighty works and His deeds. Endure hardness as a good soldier, Paul told Timothy, of Jesus Christ. If we never were tested by what we know, we never would grow. And see, this word, you will be tested. You walk out that door, you're going to be tested. But depending on what you do and how you act depends on how you grow. Amen? Amen? If we've been in the Word 10, 15, 20 years, we don't need to be in diapers. We need to be growing out of those things. Walking in love is the foundation. That's where we start. We walk in love. Walk in the Word. The test allows what's on the inside to come out. When God sees our tears that we are suffering down here for the gospel, for His Word, it brings joy to His heart. That's why He could say about Jesus that it pleased Him when they smote Him and they struck Him. Why? He saw the joy that Jesus was going to endure it as a good soldier of His son, because I was going to get to bring Larry and Frank and Elaine. I was going to get to bring them back to heaven one day. That's why it pleased Him to smite one man, for look at the seed that was sown in the ground. Look at the harvest that came and is still coming for one man, for one son, the only son that lived this life sinless and didn't say what He wanted to say. He said what the Father told Him to say and did only what He told Him to do. Our tears are an expression of our faith and trust in Him when we suffer for Him. When the devil brings the trial, don't focus on the trouble. Focus on Jesus, the one who has overcome the trouble. And we have been made more than conquerors in Him. In Him. See, now we've got Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit working for us instead of just Jesus. He's working in us. But we've got to let Him work. It's up to us, and it's our choice to choose life or death every day, to believe the truth or to believe the lie. I choose Jesus. I choose the truth. And I pray you do too every day. Conclusion today, just for part one, Jesus, the joy of Christmas. There's a lot of people in this world, when Christmas time comes, they don't have joy. They have grief because of things that's happening. People that lost ones they've lost, they don't know how they can make it through. They need to know about Jesus. He is the reason for this season. If we keep our focus on Jesus, we can laugh at trouble. And it'll take a Holy Ghost laugh. Ha, ha, ha. Knowing on the inside, laugh at Him. It is written. Instead of letting trouble laugh at you, you need to laugh at it. Let patience have its perfect work. That patient is say the word, confess the word, do the word, and then watch the word. Sometimes it might take a while, but it will work if you let it stay in you and let it work. If we give into trouble, then the joy of the Lord in my life will be replaced with worry and fear. Fear is faith contaminated. If you receive fear, it just contaminates faith and you can't receive. But faith drives out the fear. It flushes it out. So you can reverse it. We must major on the promises of God and not our problems. That's why such as this time, if you think about any time, is a time to focus on others and giving. What can I do for somebody else today, Lord? It might not be a lot of things. You know, don't look at what other people are doing. Lord, what can I do? What have You gifted and graced me to do this season? And not just this season, every day, Lord. What have You given? The gifts and talents, what are they, Lord? Show me the gifts. You know them. They're on the inside of you. Ask Him to reveal them to you. It might be buying somebody's breakfast. It might be laying hands on somebody that you know in your family is sick and you believe in healing. See, what can you do today and every day? Ask the Lord. Because you want to do what He wants you to do that day. See, Jesus didn't have His own assignment. He didn't go everywhere. He went only where the Father showed Him to go. Because He knew He couldn't do everything in one man, in one body. But there was coming a time when the church was going to be birthed, when the Holy Spirit was going to be poured into every believer. And you'd have power to go out and be a witness. And to lay hands on the sick. And see that joy, to see them healed. And say, man, what'd you do? I don't know, I just prayed. Jesus did it. Give Him glory. See, that's what we're supposed to expect. He said he would manifest himself and show himself and reveal himself by signs and wonders following the believers. We must major on the promises of God and not our problems. And soon, we could finish this, and soon and very soon, we are going to see the King, King Jesus. We will hear the Master say, "Well done." And he ain't talking about your steak. He's saying, "Well done," because I like my medium. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the," ain't got it, "enter into the joy of the Lord." Well done, you fought the fight. You finished your course. Paul said, Jesus, when those angels brought Paul's spirit up there, Jesus met him. Said, "Well done, Paul. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Man, now Paul, he's up there. He's still teaching. He's still revealing the scriptures to those that come to him. See, think about heaven. We're still going to learn. We're still going to know things. Those gifts, they're not just going to disappear. God's going to use them. Paul's still preaching his gospel. He called that his gospel. It was his. This is my gospel. And that's what we got to do. We got to keep it personal. Keep his words personal. Keep our focus on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And the joy. There's joy in Jesus. That's where our joy is. It's in him. Amen. 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 Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you right now for the message. I thank you for this joy. For the joy that was set before you, Jesus. You endured the cross and the shame, so that you could call our name. Lord, you could call our name. Call us each by name. Call us home one day. Lord, just as you breathed into breath into Adam's nostrils, Lord, when our time comes, you're just going to receive that breath right back to yourself. There's no death to a Christian, Father. We thank you that Jesus, he has destroyed him who had the power of death. That was the devil. The devil don't have no power over us. Jesus is our Lord. Father, we thank you for the joy. That, Lord, we're stirring up joy right now on the inside of us this morning because of your word, because of your victories, because of your past victories. Lord, we can see our future victories. I just thank you right now for your Holy Spirit who is inspiring the word that's been sown in our hearts, bringing that word and keeping it active and alive, keeping it before our thoughts, actually changing our thoughts to your thoughts. And they are always good, Lord. So we just thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for a mighty move of your spirit right now.